Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. This is God's Word. When they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a Jewish synagogue. As his custom was, Paul went into the synagogue, and on three Sabbath days, he reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining and proving that the Christ had to suffer and rise from the dead. "This Jesus I am proclaiming to you is the Christ," he said. Some of the Jews were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, as did a large number of God-fearing Greeks and not a few prominent women. But the Jews were jealous, so they rounded up some bad characters from the marketplace, formed a mob, and started a riot in the city. They rushed to Jason's house in search of Paul and Silas in order to bring them out to the crowd. But when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some other brothers before the city officials, shouting, "These men have caused trouble all over the world and have now come here. Jason has welcomed them into his house. They are all defying Caesar's decrees, saying that there is another king, one called Jesus." When they heard this, the crowd and the city officials were thrown into turmoil. Then they made Jason and the others post bond and let them go. As soon as it was night, the brothers sent Paul and Silas away to Berea. On arriving there, they went to the Jewish synagogue. Now the Bereans were of more noble character than the Thessalonians, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the Scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. Many of the Jews believed, as did also a number of prominent Greek women and many Greek men. When the Jews in Thessalonica learned that Paul was preaching the word of God at Berea, they went there too, agitating the crowd and stirring them up. The brothers immediately sent Paul to the coast, but Silas and Timothy stayed at Berea. The men who escorted Paul brought him to Athens and then left with instructions for Silas and Timothy to join him as soon as possible. While Paul was waiting for them in Athens, he was greatly distressed to see that the city was full of idols. So he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and God-fearing Greeks, as well as in the marketplace day by day with those who happened to be there. A group of Epicurean and Stoic philosophers began to dispute with him. Some of them asked, "What is this babbler trying to say?" Others remarked, "He seems to be advocating foreign gods." They said this because Paul was preaching the good news about Jesus and the resurrection. Then they took him and brought him to a meeting of the Areopagus, where they said to him, "May we know what this new teaching is that you're presenting? You're bringing some strange ideas to our ears, and we want to know what they mean." All the Athenians and the foreigners who lived there spent their time doing nothing but talking about and listening to the latest ideas. Paul then stood up in the meeting of the Areopagus and said, "Men of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious. For as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To an unknown God.' Now what you worship as something unknown, I'm going to proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples built by hands. And he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything, because he himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. From one man, he made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he determined the times for them and the exact places where they should live. God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. Therefore, since we are God's offspring, we should not think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image made by man's design and skill. In the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. For he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof of this to all men by raising him from the dead. When they heard about the resurrection of the dead, some of them sneered, but others said, "We want to hear you again on this subject." At that, Paul left the council. A few men became followers of Paul and believed. Among them was Dionysius, a member of the Areopagus. Also a woman named Damaris, and a number of others. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. If you want to remember the outline, think 3-2-1. Three cities in this chapter that Paul visits. And each one was different. But the stories reveal some other things. There were only two responses. Now, those responses took different shape, but it's important to understand that when confronted with the truth, one of two things happens. Either you embrace the truth or you don't. Everybody either says yes or says no. Everyone either receives the truth or doesn't receive the truth. You say, well, so receive or reject. Well, no, some people don't realize they're rejecting. They just think they're deferring. They're going to do it later. I'm going to consider that. I'll think about that. Okay? I'm just not going to deal with it right now. This is not a good time for me to make a decision. If you're thinking you're going to come to Christ later, you're not thinking well. If you're thinking you've got plenty of time, maybe. But I'll tell you this. There are ultimately only two responses. Either you accept the truth or you don't. Either you trust Christ or you don't. And I would plead with you, don't defer. Don't wait. Today is the day of salvation. Now, within those two responses, the Bereans were more noble than the Thessalonians. But the same two choices apply. Some of the Thessalonians got saved. Some of the Thessalonians became hostile enemies of the truth. In Berea, some of the Bereans believed. Some of them did not. And the Thessalonians were able to come down there and stir up a bunch of opposition in Berea. You may see churches from time to time that have in their name Berea. Okay? Berean Baptist, Berean Bible Church, Berean. What is this? Well, it's because those churches are referring back to this place where the people searched the scriptures to see if what was being preached was true. We didn't include Berean in the name of Covenant Community Church. My belief is if it's too long to put on a check, it's too long a name for a church. The Bereans, however, I hope are an example of what Covenant Community Church is about. Because I don't want you or anyone else just to take my word for it. I want you to search the scriptures and see if what I'm saying is true. I've told you this before. If somebody tells me after I've preached, oh, that was just tremendous, I could never have come up with that, I've really not done a good job. The greatest compliment you can give me after I've preached is to say, you know, you're right, that's exactly what it says. Yes, thank you. Because I want everybody to know the answer is not in me, the answer is in God's word. My job is to keep pointing you back to the text and saying, look, see what it says here? See what it says here? Because God's word is true. His word is alive. It is powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. It'll absolutely change your life. So you don't have to take my word for it. If I drop dead today, you still have God's word. Well, no, I'd have to go back and listen to your tapes. No, you don't. Just read the Bible and believe it. This is God's word. I'm just a guy pointing to him. So, even in Athens, there were some people who became believers. Either you believe or you don't. Either you put your trust in Christ or you don't. Don't delay.
You are listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference, and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
Three cities, two responses, one message. There was one message. When Paul was in Thessalonica, he preached three Sabbath days at the synagogue, reasoning with them from the scriptures, explaining and proving that the Christ had to suffer and rise from the dead. If you go to 1 Corinthians 15, when Paul says, I want to remind you of what the gospel is, it's all about Jesus' death on the cross, burial, and resurrection. And the death on the cross and the resurrection, he says in 1 Corinthians 15, according to the scriptures. According to the scriptures. What was he doing here? He was reasoning with them from the scriptures. We have some preachers today who want to avoid dealing at any length with the scriptures because so many people have given up on the Bible. They just don't believe the Bible's true. Well, there are also tons of people in government who have given up on the notion that money shouldn't just be printed or it will lose its value. Okay? But that doesn't change the basic laws of economics. How did he get over there all of a sudden? My point is, whether you believe something is true or not doesn't make it true or not. If you are confused about your gender, it doesn't change your chromosomes. Reality is real. That's why we call it reality. And if you and I don't believe God's word, that makes us the idiot. So, the Apostle Paul reasoned with them from the scriptures about the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. That's what he did in Thessalonica anyway. Let's see what happened when he got to Berea. Oh, let's see. The Bereans were of more noble character than the Thessalonians, for they received the message, with great eagerness and examined, what? Their feelings every day to see if what Paul said was true. I don't know if that just feels right. No, they examined the scriptures because he was arguing from the scriptures that Jesus is the Christ and he had to die for our sins and be buried and rise again according to the scriptures. And so they're checking the scriptures to see if it's right. And a number of them became believers. And Paul keeps having to be shuttled out of town. So while Paul was waiting for them in Athens, he was greatly distressed to see that the city was full of idols. And so he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and the God-fearing Greeks. Well, that's a good place to take your concerns. As well as in the marketplace, day by day, with those who happened to be there. Paul was talking with people about the Lord wherever he went. He was just kind of a steady witness. So, a group of Epicurean and Stoic philosophers began to dispute with him. They began to argue with him. They heard what he was saying, and it was contrary to what they said. Now, what's interesting is the Epicureans and the Stoics didn't agree with each other. But the thing they could agree on is they didn't agree with Paul. Okay? So these opposing views came together in opposing what Paul was saying. And some of them asked, well, what is it he's trying to say? I just don't get it. Others remarked, he seems to be advocating foreign gods. They said this because Paul was preaching the good news about Jesus and the resurrection. What is the good news about Jesus and the resurrection? The word gospel means good news. And if you're not able to remember what we said a few moments ago about what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15 concerning, I want to remind you of what the gospel is. This is the good news. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried and he was raised again according to the scriptures. That's the good news. So that's what Paul was preaching. He was preaching the gospel, the good news about Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. It all comes down to that. Whether you are in Thessalonica, whether you are in Berea, whether you are in Athens, whether you are in Ware's Valley, the message doesn't change. That's still the good news. And if you try to cut the scriptures out of it in order not to seem old-fashioned, you're not being true to the message. So, Paul is preaching that, and they said, let's bring him to our place. He got, instead of inviting all of them to come to the synagogue, they invited him to come and speak to their gathering, the Areopagus. And when he got there, he thought, I need to change the message. No, still the same message, but he used a new starting point. Because he was dealing with a bunch of people who didn't know that there is one God who is the creator and the ruler of everything. They believed in all these different gods. And so Paul took something from their culture in their community and he used that as a launching pad. He said, I see that you're very religious. In fact, I even saw a monument you have to an unknown God. Let me tell you about the God you don't know. And then he launches in and he describes the God who is God as being the one who created everything. You know the number one reason why Andy Stanley doesn't want to cite the Bible? Because the Bible has that story in it about creation. And Andy just finds that too hard to sell. I'm not making that up. This is well documented, and I've heard Andy say it. We just don't want to offend people unnecessarily by saying something that's going to be hard for them to believe. Somebody should have explained that to Paul. Okay? Paul, speaking to a bunch of people who didn't even believe that there was only one God, tells them that there is and that he's the creator of all things. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by hands. He is sitting here, or standing there, starting out by saying, you guys have got it all wrong. Okay? You're ignorant. Let me tell you about the God who is God. The God who really is God is not like all these man-made idols that you have. And then he demonstrates cultural sensitivity by quoting a couple of their poets. He says, look, your people say this, that's true. And they say this, that's true. He appeals to non-scriptural purveyors of truth. It'd be sort of like using an example from some movie produced by pagans in Hollywood, okay? And saying, well, let me tell you, they got this part right. You know that song that you've been hearing on the radio where it says this? What that speaks of is the heart's cry for meaning, for transcendence. Paul did that. He didn't do that in Berea. He didn't have to. He didn't do it in Thessalonica. He didn't have to. But in speaking to this crowd, Paul starts with creation and the creator God, and then he appeals to certain things that are familiar to them. But where does he go with it? Therefore, since we are God's offspring, we should not think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image made by man's design and skill. In the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. For he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof of this to all men by raising him from the dead. What's he talking about now? He's brought them right back to the resurrected Christ. His death, burial, and resurrection. You can't have a resurrection from the dead unless you got dead. And so Paul, and this is a summary statement, is presenting to them the same message, the same gospel, calling them to repent because judgment is coming. Are we afraid to tell people that judgment is coming? You and I had better be willing to talk with people about the truth. And the truth is that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried, and on the third day he was raised again according to the scriptures. And God now demands that all people everywhere repent because judgment is coming. And I plead with you, if you have not put your trust in Jesus, while you have the opportunity, ask him to save you.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.